Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The federal government recently released a report stating that climate change is real and a growing problem that needs to be dealt with immediately. It predicts significant economic and human harm in the near future, including things like more wildfires, flooding, more red tide outbreaks and harmful algal blooms, increased hurricane intensity and disrupted agriculture production. The report's authors from various federal agencies say they are more certain than ever that climate change poses a real and imminent threat. And while avoiding any policy recommendations, the report's findings are sharply contrasted by President Donald Trump's apparent lack of desire to take any steps to address the problem. Joining me now to discuss the implications for people and the environment here in Southwest Florida is Dr. Andrea Dutton. She's an associate professor of geology at the University of Florida and an expert on sea level rise. Dr. Dutton, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks for having me today.
I'm also joined by Dr. Todd Sack. He's a Florida physician who practices medicine in Jacksonville, who's a climate change leader with the Florida Medical Association and with Physicians for Social Responsibility here in Florida. Dr. Sack, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here with you and with Professor Dutton.
If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. We're running a little short on time, so I'm going to jump right into it. Dr. Dutton, this report's a significant departure in any way from the federal government's perspective on issues surrounding climate change. Is this new?
What is in the report is not very new in a sense. The fundamental science has been there for a long time. I think what is really nice about this report is that this report specifically asks the question, what are the specific costs and risks that we face from global warming? It's not so much about the science of it, but what are the effects? What are the impacts going to be? And when you hear that message, it helps people to really connect the dots, because when they think about global warming, it's very abstract and it's hard to wrap your head around. But this helps us to make a more clear picture about it, how it's already affecting our lives and how it will continue to do so in the future.
Are those costs and risks a bit greater down here in South Florida? Because here we are dangling out in the middle of a gulf and an ocean.
Yes, absolutely. Florida is very vulnerable to the effects of climate change for many reasons, as some of those that you mentioned in the introduction, things like more intense hurricanes, more intense rainfall events, right, warmer nights and warmer temperatures, some of the health effects that Dr. Sack looks at. So we are extremely vulnerable when you look across the country from many levels, the effects of climate change.
And Dr. Sack, I wanted to ask you, as a physician, what kind of things do you think about when it comes to climate change? When we discuss it, we're talking about sea level rise, people talking about things being a little bit warmer. What kind of health impacts does climate change have on human beings individually?
Yes, I agree with Dr. Dutton. There isn't a lot of great news, no breakthrough report in this report, but it reminds us that climate change is the greatest risk to human health and human happiness in this century, and that we're really practicing medical malpractice and how we deal with climate change. We have these great health risks facing us. We're doing really nothing to prevent it or to treat this disease. In Florida, we face two big issues, and these were highlighted very well in this report. The first are these heat events, where there will be days where it's extremely hot, over 115 degrees, which is a grave risk to people who work outside, to tourists, to the elderly and the small children. We're not preparing our doctors and nurses to teach about this. We don't have public teams to deal with these focused health crises that can last a week where thousands of people will die, and we're not educating the public about this. The second set of risks are from the great hurricane and tornado events that we all know about. The report points out clearly that the number of these will increase, but the research can't tell us really how many hurricane events there will be, or how many tens of thousands or even millions of people will have their lives disrupted, or how many deaths will be. And that's one of the difficulties in planners. We know something horrible is coming, and we can't figure out exactly how many deaths to prepare for. We need to prevent this problem before it happens, is I think the bottom line.
So we're going to be joined tomorrow by an FGCU professor who's been researching how these algal blooms may be impacting human health. And as a medical doctor, is this a good example of the intersection of climate change and human health, too?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the warmer temperatures combined with increased pollution increase the number of algal blooms. But The other factor is going to be the increased number of vector-borne diseases. We're seeing mosquitoes survive the winters longer. And we're seeing episodes of dengue, of Zika, of West Nile virus increasing. These are also deaths and injuries related to climate change.
Dr. Dutton, sometimes when conversations come up about climate change, I feel like people are a little bit powerless. Will it take an individual buy-in or corporate actions or governmental mandates to get control over these carbon emissions?
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yes to all.
All of the above, right? So there's no silver bullet. There's no one solution that's going to do it all. So we need a spectrum of solutions, and that's going to be bottom-up and top-down and at the individual level as well. So someone gave an analogy that I saw online earlier today that, you know, there are 7.7 billion of us, and you can think about it as a car racing towards the edge of the cliff. So each one of us has a brake pedal, and each one of us has an accelerator. And some of us have bigger brake pedals or bigger accelerators, right? And we need to think about how that balances out over our lives. So we all are capable of contributing something to this solution.
Well, I have a little tiny brake pedal because I'm just one person, but that's kind of an interesting analogy. I like it. So how long would it take to reverse global warming or stop it, at least, from continuing to progress if human beings were to immediately reduce all carbon emissions except, of course, for breathing right now?
Right. So even if we all decided to ditch our cars and use skateboards, you know, as you said, completely stop everything today, there's already a certain amount of warming that's kind of baked into the system, so we would still see some additional warming before that began to stabilize. But with the amount of greenhouse gases that we've already put into the atmosphere, it's going to take on the order of, you know, 100,000 years or more to draw that all back down if you rely just on natural processes alone, and that we know by looking at the geologic record and understanding how this system works. So to get it to come down faster than that, you would need to actually physically draw it down and do some type of carbon sequestration.
So we need to come up with some solutions then.
That's right, yeah.
Are there any? Please.
There are a number of things that have been proposed. All of them are somewhat challenging in terms when you think about scaling them up to the scale that we would need to do this at. But certainly some of them could have an effect, but a lot of these are still in their infancy in terms of being tested. And many of them have other cascading effects on the ecosystems or things that they're perturbing in the process of doing that carbon sequestration. So it's a balancing act.
So there needs to...
Comment?
Sorry?
Quick comment. You know, Florida did pass comprehensive climate change legislation in 2008, the Florida Energy Conservation and Climate Protection Act. We have in our laws a process for Florida to become engaged. So it's a matter of our leaders stepping forward and implementing laws that were already adopted. The solutions are there. We know how to do renewable energy and energy efficiency, to convert to electric cars in our transportation. We can fix this. There will be impacts of climate change from the pollutants that Dr. Dutton has already referred to. But we just need to roll up our sleeves as individuals, to ask our leaders, to insist that our leaders do this.
Do you feel like something like this report, Dr. Sack, might be the thing that gets people to find the political will to make that happen?
I sure hope so. We need to keep talking to our friends and neighbors about this. It's terribly important.
And then I'm going to ask either of you to contribute maybe a couple of pointers for those of us who are listening who do care. What kind of things do we need to do? Do we have to go to electric cars, solar panels, stop eating meat so you can reduce the cattle feed lots or at least eat less meat? What kind of things do people need to do?
So I can start with that, and Dr. Sack just mentioned one of them. I think the most important thing that we all can do is what we're doing here today, is to talk to the people around you about this issue. So there's sometimes people refer to this thing called climate silence. They think this issue is so contentious, they don't want to bring it up at a dinner party or that type of thing. And if we can't talk about it and have a discussion about it, then we're not going to be able to move towards these solutions, right? So that would be, I think, the first step for everyone to do. You can also go online and calculate your own carbon footprint. There are a lot of places you can do this and figure out ways you can reduce your own personal carbon emissions. You can talk to your elected officials and go that route. There's something called Project Drawdown, if you want to look that up online, that has lots of different suggestions about changes that you can make or ways that you can have an effect.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today's show, but I want to thank my guest, Dr. Andrea Dutton. She's an associate professor of geology at the University of Florida. Andrea, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I also want to thank Dr. Todd Sack. He's a Florida physician. He practices medicine in Jacksonville and is a climate change leader with the Florida Medical Association and with Physicians for Social Responsibility here in Florida. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.